On today's episode of the Maize and Blue Corner podcast, we will talk the potential Shondi Brown transfer, sit down with Stu Douglas, and of course, answer some of your voicemail questions. Enjoy the show.
Yep. And we back.
Welcome to episode 5 of the Maize and Blue Corner podcast. I'm your host today, Ben Cooper, joined alongside Max, a.k.a. Wolverine Corner, and the UM vs. Everyone boys, Ryan and Jacob. If you are listening to this podcast, please like and subscribe. We are a new podcast, and that is the best way for you guys to help us out. We are unofficially sponsored by DoorDash, but a sponsorship is in the works. They just don't know yet. As we are recording this Monday night, Cole Badgema has recently announced that he will be transferring to the University of Washington. What are your thoughts on that, boys?
Anyone could have probably saw that coming from a mile away. So, I mean, that's his home state. He's from Washington. So it doesn't surprise me that he wants to go back home. That's a great pickup for Washington. You know, Washington basketball isn't exactly the greatest program, and I think he'll really help them.
Yeah, so it is a big pickup for Washington, former top 100 recruit and everything. And I think Ant Wright tweeted, if I'm not mistaken, something about how they play mostly 2-3 zone. So it'll be a good fit for Cole. He gets to focus, you know, mainly on offense and just kind of sag back in a 2-3 zone. So it's a good fit for him. It's a good fit for Washington. And I did just want to say that I'm still salty he transferred because, like, obviously we wish him the best and everything, but it was so unexpected for me, and I really think he had a role on next year's team, and it's just unfortunate. So, selfishly, I will have to say that I'm definitely still salty.
Honestly, I loved the kid on and off the court. I watched his live stream Sunday night, and it was so funny. He's just like a funny kid, and yeah. I did ask him on the live stream, though, if he eats his mac and cheese with a spoon or a fork. And he confirmed that he eats it with a fork.
Oh, my God.
So I think it's probably for the best that he is gone. In all seriousness, though, I wish him only the best. And I see a bright future coming his way.
I will say, I didn't know that about the whole fork thing. So I take back everything I just said about him. And, yeah, he can have fun in Washington now.
Sure.
Yeah, so I think that this is probably a good idea for him because I didn't see that there was going to be a way that he was going to get very much playing time at Michigan this year other than the backup shooting guard spot if he beat out Nunez. So I think that he's going to get more playing time than he did at Michigan and Washington. I think, and it also like opened up a spot for Michigan. So it's probably a mutually good thing because we got Nojel Eastern. We have a chance of getting Shondi Brown. But Badgema is like the type of person that I think could blossom in a type of system like Washington. He's great shooter, and if you saw what happened with Markel Fultz, he's a guard that turned out really well, at least in college, and he went number one overall. So for his draft aspirations, I think that this was a great move for him.
Can he still not shoot? Is that still a thing?
He's gotten better, but he has thoracic outlet syndrome, so it's kind of like it's hard for him to shoot, kind of.
That sounds made up.
It's not.
No, it is not made up. You're just uneducated.
That's fair enough.
All right, moving into our next topic, the Last Dance concluded Sunday night. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
So I have a few words, not very many. So I'm going to keep it really short. I think that MJ is the GOAT. LeBron's the best player in history. Two different things. I think that's the way it is.
I'll get to who's the GOAT in a second, but I just wanted to say that I was completely blown away by the entire series. It was so, so, so freaking good. I have some people that were messaging me and even some of my friends that haven't checked it out, didn't watch any of those 10 parts over the last 5 weeks. And if you weren't watching those, I have no idea what you were doing. The untold stories, the behind the scene, you know, all this behind the scenes stuff. The entire thing was 10 out of 10. And my biggest takeaway from the entire series is I'm pretty sure Michael Jordan is a complete psychopath because, like, the stuff that he used to get himself motivated was, I mean, the guy's a psychopath. Like, in that last episode, we saw, like, when he was going up against the Jazz, I think it was the 97 season, it was before the Last Dance, like, his main motivating factor was that Karl Malone won MVP that year. Like, I just feel like Like, he was totally deserving of that MVP award, but like, MJ's a psychopath, and that's what it need, that's what he needed to get himself motivated. And yeah, all the behind the scenes stuff, it was so good. If you haven't watched it yet, go watch it. It was one of the best things I've ever watched. And obviously MJ's the GOAT, so I'll end it at that.
Yeah, like you know, you saw all these advertisements throughout the documentary. It was like, for MJ, I was like, it's like maybe the fact that the spin that MJ is a good person probably was one of the greatest media spins of all time. Like, I mean, you saw all the stuff like, you know, Scott Burrell being constantly bullied by MJ. That was like, you kept seeing that. That was funny. But like, you know, he was like a psychopath. You know, like he made up a story. I forget the dude's name, but like he made up a story to motivate himself, and he went off for like 50 the next night. So
yeah, like, and I don't know about like if MJ's a bad person. Like, I think this series showed, like, you know, it showed that maybe he was, I don't know, I think he was more of a ridiculous competitor than he was a bad person. He was going to get the best out of his teammates, and if that meant bullying them or you know, doing all the crazy stuff that he did, then he was going to do it, and he was going to do everything he can to win. And I don't think that necessarily translates to him being a bad person, though.
Yeah, I mean, I can get that, but when it comes to the GOAT debate, as we all know, MJ is actually just DeMar DeRozan with a gambling addiction, and that's a joke. Don't quote me on that. He's the greatest player of all time, but I personally believe this era of basketball is the highest level of basketball that's ever been played, and LeBron James is the best player of that era, therefore making him the best player of all time. But there is a difference between the best player of all time and the greatest player of all time. LeBron is the best player, but the level of greatness that MJ left behind when he retired three times is just unmatched.
You guys can't have it both ways. Like, you get one's the best, one's the greatest. Like, stop. Like, it's the same thing. Like, no matter how much you want to think to yourself that it's not the same thing.
Greatest is more about
greatness and best are different terms in basketball, especially.
Greatness for me means that he won a lot more. And LeBron is what, 3 for 9 in the finals? So, and MJ, I'm pretty sure, is 6 for 6. So he is the greatest. He's won more, and he has like, he's just won more accolades inside his career. LeBron has not nearly won as many, but LeBron is playing at a higher level, is playing against higher level people than in the 80s, in my opinion. And therefore, he's been the best for like, also the say last
how much help, how much help MJ actually ended up having. He had Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, the greatest basketball coach of all time, arguably. Like,
okay, but
any, like, I mean, if you threw LeBron on that team, I think they won the 6 rings the same way.
Hold up, but oh, okay, Ben, I'm gonna start being skip in a second, so.
Yeah, that was the reason I was debating putting that on the list. But people talk about that all day. But considering the times, I felt like it was needed. Next up, this was inspired by the Blue by 90 podcast. It's a great podcast. I listen to every episode. But they were talking about why, even though the Big House it's the biggest stadium in college football, why isn't it that tough of an environment?
All right. Well, when it comes to that, it's just, well, I think the Big House is a tough environment. It's just, it's not nearly as tough as it can be. Just, you know, when you go to the Michigan Stadium, you see all these tame fans, like they're not loud. I've been to big games where fans are loud. It's one of my favorite experiences ever when it comes to sports. I went to Michigan State this past year. People were standing the entire game. That was fun. Like, if we want to be known as one of those stadiums to fear more of, we need something like the whiteout that Penn State has. We need to treat every game like it's the most important one. Like, when we're playing Ball State next year, why can't we all be hyped up? Why can't we do that? Why do we treat it like it's this boring game? Isn't, you know, I just wish some of our fans were just more passionate, I guess.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, like the more casual fans, they go to the games as more of just like an event or activity. But like, I think a lot of other schools that are a little more electric, they think of it as more of just like purely a competition, and they're going to do whatever they can to help their team win. And I've been to other stadiums. I haven't been to that many, but I've been to other ones. And they have a lot less fans, but they're a lot louder per capita or whatever. I think they're just a lot more energetic, and I think it really helps their team.
All right, so hold up. So I haven't been to very many Michigan games. I've been to a boatload of basketball games, haven't been to a ton of football games. So let me ask you, Ben or Jacob, whoever wants to take this, do you put any blame on, like, the students? Like, do you think the students are as crazy as they could be? Or do you think it's mostly, like, you know, is it mostly on the casual fan?
I think it's the casual fans. I mean, the student section is not exactly the most rowdy section, but, like, once you get to the general seating area, it's just, you know, the student section is still the most rowdy part of this. The section is just the regular fans. It's just, you know, like, they'll be sitting down. I'm like, why? It's like, come on. So just, it's like an all around thing. Everyone could be a bit more, you know, hyped up, I guess. It's not just the students.
Like when I go to games, like people are sitting down for like touchdowns. Like in a close game, people are just sitting down. Like the Iowa game, touchdown, people all around me, people are just sitting down.
Wait, you're not supposed to do that?
I mean, I don't know. The student section, I mean, I'm not a student. I haven't been inside the student section, but I mean, they're
standard.
They're definitely the loudest in the stadium for sure.
Walmart.
Yeah, dude, why are you a Michigan fan? You didn't even go there.
Yeah, my bad.
You're not allowed to. If you can't be a Detroit Lions fan unless you played for the Lions.
Exactly.
I feel that.
Elwin would not approve of Ben's fanship.
I guess not. Now we are going to move into our interview with U of M Michigan basketball legend, Stu Douglas. We were really excited to have Stu on the pod. And without further ado, here's our interview with Stu Douglas. We are pleased to welcome Stu Douglas to the Maize and Blue podcast. Stu played in a ridiculous 136 consecutive games while at Michigan, is a 2011 Big Ten champion, and was the co-captain of the 2010 and 2011 team. Now playing overseas, welcome onto the pod, Stu.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
How are you doing today?
I'm not too bad, you know, just sitting here in Israel. Same old since this all started, so not too bad.
I noticed on your Instagram and Twitter, it's like your username is like Stuart. Are you going by Stu or Stuart these days?
It's in the basketball world, I'm Stu. Friends and family, Stuart, you know, some people call me Stu. My mother calls me every name in the book. It just kind of depends who you are. But like once I got to college, it's actually pretty funny. It pissed off some of my friends that my name changed to Stu right when I got to Michigan. But I guess that's what happens. They take control of your name and everything about you. So that they decided that's what was best for me, I guess.
Yeah. Jumping right into it, many of our listeners may not have like kept up with you since you played at Michigan. What has life after college basketball looked like for you?
Man, my first year I went to Spain, and every other year after that, I've been playing in Israel. Summers back home in Indiana with my family, and that's just been on repeat, you know, ever since. And it's had its ups and downs, but I keep coming back. I can't quit it. you know, it's been a very interesting ride. Every year brings some sort of new lesson, something new, some new experience that I never thought I would have. You know, I'm 30 now, and I feel like I should be able to have seen it all overseas, but that is just never the case. So I always expect the unexpected. It always keeps it interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. What would you say the biggest difference from the Big Ten college level to overseas?
It's a good question. You know, there was just, it's so different, college basketball with the 4 years and kind of the building of discipline that you have, especially under a guy like Beilein. You got so many rules defensively, and here, you know, you can't really build up that type of unity, that type of club. A lot of guys are just signing for 1 year deals, bouncing around from team to team. I played on a bunch of different teams so far, even within Israel. You're just not going to have guys, you're not going to have the same core group year after year. Even the top EuroLeague teams change a bunch year to year. They'll keep a lot of their domestic players, but the foreigners will change a lot. But So it's very difficult. You just kind of have to survive almost. And some of that discipline gets lost just because you just really can't force it. It's just much more difficult to enforce just through how everything is set up and how much guys move around year to year and from country to country. So, yeah, I'd say that's the biggest thing.
For sure, for sure. How has, obviously, like in the United States, college basketball and the NBA and pretty much all sports have been affected by the coronavirus? How has the Israel Premier League been affected by it?
Well, we just got, basically, they voted on reinstating us and starting up again on June 20th. We're, I think, one of maybe four leagues with Europe, or combined with Europe, that did not outright cancel the league. Turkey just canceled a couple of days ago, so maybe there's another couple. I think Germany is trying to come back, maybe another league. But I think right now we're the only league that is back up and running, or plans to be back up and running. So I think I have to be in 14-day quarantine starting like in 4 days, wow, or May 17th, and then practice is supposed to start June 1, and then June 20th, we're supposed to play our first game. I have some serious doubts that that is going to happen because of monetary issues and the players wanting to come back. But as of right now, my team has not said a single word to me basically about any of this since we got reinstated. So I'm not sure if I have a team or not, or what's going to happen. So I'm just waiting here to twiddle my thumbs and hope for the best.
Are they planning to like allow fans to the games, or is it just going to be like?
No, it's going to be nothing. They might have fans for the Final Four and the championship. That'd be like the very last few days of July. Yeah. They're hoping they can get a sign off from the Ministry of Health for like 10,000 fans to get into an arena for those couple games. But no, other than that, it'll just be empty.
That's crazy. Did you play at all, like, without the fans, or did they just shut it down before then?
They just shut it down before then.
Obviously, I assume you've been having as many of us all have been having a lot of free time. What have you been doing to pass the time and stay in shape during this time?
So I tried to take a break, right? Try to rest my body. I wasn't doing any running. I haven't even actually touched a basketball since this all started. I haven't been able to get access to my gym. For many weeks there, I wasn't even able to go outside of 100 meters from my apartment. And I've been trying to do some running of stairs, do some sprints outside, nothing too crazy. But once we got reinstated a few days ago, I tried to pick it up a little bit. I even have this piece of paper in front of me. It's my quest to get back in shape. So I got this whole planned out until this all starts. So I'm trying not to kill myself if we actually end up practicing again and injuring myself, because that's a big concern. So much time off and not being able to do literally anything. There's a big injury concern. I'm 30 now, so I really feel it. So I'm trying to be smart about all of this. But I mean, a lot of just laying around the apartment doing nothing, watching shows, trying to do some yoga, trying to do some stretching, trying to start up some meditation, keep my sanity while I've been alone, feel like stranded on an island. Just so many different things.
What shows have you been watching? Anything good?
I just watched this new show on Netflix. I think it was called Never Have I Ever. I think it just came out last week. That was pretty good. Finished that. Start to finish in a few days. About to start up Ozark season 3, so I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I watched Ozark season 3. It was really good, so I bet you'll enjoy it.
Okay, good.
Obviously, with the time difference in Israel, it's of 7 hours. Is it difficult to stay updated on Michigan basketball?
It is. It's very difficult. Throughout the years, this past year, I maybe saw like 5 minutes of games. Sometimes I'm able to follow, like if I'm in bed, a little restless, I won't go get my computer and just pull up that bright ass screen and follow it and try to watch a game online. But I'll follow some stuff on the CBS app and get some live feed there. So I've, follow some statistics, and I follow so many people on Twitter that I get just kept up to date on all sorts of stuff. you know, just by that without even trying. So that's good. But yeah, I was interested to see how the year was going to be with Juwan and everything. And I'm a big Xavier Simpson fan, so I really wanted him to do well this year. I was tracking a lot of his stuff. So yeah, the watching part has just been the most difficult, but I think I'm going to try and get back into it. But it's been tough for the past few years.
Now that Xavier's like finished his career or college career, at least, what players are you looking forward to watching next season?
What's going on with Livers? Everything's postponed because of the drafts and stuff.
I mean, he hasn't announced either way, but Franz said he's coming back. Livers has not said anything yet.
Yeah, I mean, both of them for sure. I mean, all those guys. There's a lot of players in, you know, throughout the years with Michigan, there's always guys that step up. You know, when a guy like Xavier leaves, you know, down the line, it was Trey and then Derek and then Xavier. So, you know, who's going to step up as a point guard next year? And, you know, that's always a big storyline for Michigan. So I expect that to continue. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out as well.
Besides, obviously, you were a part of the team that won Michigan their first Big Ten title in, I believe it was 26 years. But besides from that, what would you say your favorite memory is from Michigan?
Favorite memory. You know, the first time playing in a tournament and beating Clemson was really important to me, really important to, you know, Novak as well and the other guys in the team. That first year was huge for us to get to the tournament and just to win a game. Unluckily, we ran into Blake Griffin in Oklahoma, but just for us to prove to ourselves that, you know, if we stick to this system, if we stick to our style and stay disciplined, that we can have success with it. So that was very long lasting for us. That's for sure.
Have you stayed in touch with anyone from your from Michigan all these years later?
A little bit. You know, I've talked to Zach here and there. I'll see him sometimes in the summer. Just talk to Josh a little bit. I talked to Jordan Morgan. I'd say probably the most out of anybody. You know, a few guys. I want to go see my guy Colton Christian out in Seattle one of these days. I miss him. You know, I love Vogie and Blake. Sometimes I'll see them in the summers, but, you know, not too many people. You know, sometimes it's difficult to even keep in contact with my own family while I'm over here. It's very strange at times. So balancing all sorts of different people to talk to overseas has been a challenge in and of itself. I've gotten better this past year. I'm still trying to improve upon that.
Yeah, for sure. If you were to, this was a fan submitted question, but if you were to 1v1 Zach Novak today, who's winning, 2-11, who's winning and what's the score?
It'd be like, what was it when Ali just tired out who he was facing? I think, was that the Rumble in the Jungle when he was just tiring out? I can't remember who his opponent was. He was just running around, making him tired. I feel like that'd be me and that'd be Zach in about, you know, the first 5 points. Maybe he'd get me down the post a little bit. But that basketball shape, once you hit 30, that basketball shape is just a little more difficult to be in. So just for that sense, for that sake, I think I'd have the upper hand there.
I mean, I'd love to see it. I think a lot of people would.
That would be pretty fun. He tried to rip my head off, that's for sure.
Yeah. moving away from sports, every week we do a one like non-sports related question, and like that we all answer. And so, what would you say if you had to pick your top three cereals of all time? What would they be?
Oh, okay. First two, easy. Reese's Puffs is king, like without a doubt. And anybody who says otherwise is a narc to me. Number two is Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Now, the third one is pretty tough for me because those are just the two I go to whenever I eat cereal.
Yeah.
But I guess if I had to pick... You know, sometimes I just like a plain old bowl of Honey Nut Cheerios. That brings back a lot of childhood memories. So, yeah, I'll go with that as number three, even though maybe not the most flavorful and most sugary, but that's more nostalgia pick for me.
That's a good list, honestly.
Yeah.
Now, this is like our final segment that we usually do for our interviews. It's our quick fire questions. Are you ready?
Okay. Yep.
All right. LeBron or Jordan?
LeBron.
What's your go-to pregame song?
Oh, boy. A lot of EDM. Not kind of just random.
Okay. Does pineapple belong on pizza?
No way.
Big House or Chrysler?
Chrysler.
Favorite TV show of all time?
True Detective Season 1.
What's the best social media app?
Oh, Twitter.
For sure. What's your go-to basketball shoe?
Basketball shoe? PG1. And I've been trying to buy them up all online. I think I'm screwed for next year. So which one?
Do you hate MSU or OSU more?
Ooh, MSU.
What is your favorite superhero?
The Chris Pratt one. What's his name? Star-Lord.
Star-Lord, yeah. And finally, this is our fan favorite. Do you eat mac and cheese with a spoon or a fork?
Old me was fork, now a spoon.
Yes. You've changed for the better.
Exactly.
All right. That's all the questions we've got today. Anything else you want to say to the people before you head off?
No, appreciate you having me. I said, I'm bored as hell, so I'm always around.
Thanks for coming on the podcast, dude. We really appreciate having you on. If you ever want to come on in the future, just let me or any of the other guys know, and we'll definitely make it happen if you want. I suspect many of you already follow Stu, but if you don't, his social media links will all be in the description below, so make sure to give him a follow there. Thanks again for taking the time, and now we will move on to our next big segment, the fan favorite voicemail questions. Thanks again to Stu for coming on the podcast. Now we will move into our next segment, voicemail questions. This is our first question for the episode.
My name is Michael from Michigan, and I was wondering what you guys think of Michigan's chances with Sean D. Brown, and if there's a current or former Michigan player that you would compare him to.
Thank you, Mikey, for sending in this question. So, with Sean D. Brown, as we are recording this, he's going to commit tomorrow. When we release this, it'll be the day of. So I think we're going to get him. I know the dreaded website 24/7. I'm going to use that here. Today, four crystal balls were submitted for his transfer decision. All four went to Michigan. So I think they're going to get him. And when it comes to the player comparison, him and Charles Matthews, their stats are like virtually the same. They average almost the same amount of points, almost the same amount of rebounds, almost the same amount of assists, and their field goal percentages are quite similar too. I watched some of his highlights. He plays a bit like Charles Matthews. He mainly focuses on his inside or mid-range game. So, he's a very intriguing player to possibly come over here, and I think we'll get him.
Did you say all the crystal balls went to Michigan?
All four of them do.
So that means he's going to Arizona State.
Yes.
Or Illinois. At least there was one crystal ball that went to Arizona State before Christopher went there.
True.
Yeah, I think that Charles Matthews is a very good comparison for Sean D. Brown. I think that if you want an NBA comp, though, I think that Justice Winslow is a good comparison. Because, to be honest, Sean D. Brown and Justice Winslow, they have like a very similar like body type. And I think that he's basically just Justice Winslow with a better jumper and worse passing. His Sean D. Brown does not have the worst defense. He has 0.5 defensive win shares. So it's obviously could use work. So it's not up to what Matthews or Winslow would be. But I think that with one more year, it's definitely going to like end up improving and improving and improving on itself, especially if he sits out a year. And I think that there's a very good chance that we get him in. I'm very happy that if we do get him, I think that this is going to be a great addition to the team. Charles Matthews meant a lot to this team a few years ago, and I think that this is going to be a great player to add to the bench or even a starter.
Yeah, so I think it's a great pickup for Michigan if they're able to land him tomorrow, which it looks like they're going to be able to do. I watched a lot of his tape today. He kind of reminds me, like Ryan, or like everyone said, Charles Matthews. He kind of is like a more thick Charles Matthews. He's low-key thick. He's a really good player. Just like Nojel Eastern, I actually hope he sits out a year. A lot of people are hoping that he gets a waiver, and I feel like if him and Eastern both sit out a year and they're both eligible coming the 2021 season, Michigan's going to be loaded at backcourt with experience. And I'm not sure Michigan needs him for next year. Obviously he would help. He's a good player. I'm kind of just hoping that he sits out and is ready to be, you know, a major contributor the following season.
All right. Thank you for that question, Michael. Now we will move on to our next question.
Hey guys, Jake from Ann Arbor. I was wondering if you could rate your top three office characters. That'd be great. Thanks.
Thank you so much for submitting that question. And as the biggest office fan on the podcast, I will take this one first. This was hard for me. Was this supposed to be top three or top five?
Top three.
Okay, good. Because I only have three. So I don't have the most, you know, typical answers. I tried to go, like, I'm not going to put Michael on my list, right? That'd be too boring. So starting at number three, and don't roast me for this list, but starting at number three, I have Jan. Jan is number three on my list. Hear me out. I could make a case for any office character to be number one on this list. So I have Jan on my list. I think she plays her character so well, and she is so hilarious. Her relationship with Michael, and it's some of the most ridiculous stuff I've ever seen. And she just played when she comes back with the fake boobs. I swear to God, I laugh. Her character is just perfect. So Jan is number three. Number two, again, this is for like the same reason. I could make a case for anybody being number one, but number two, I have Ryan Howard as my number two. And the reason for this is he is like, if anybody who's seen The Office knows this, but like his character changes every single season. Like he starts off as like this, you know, nerd that's in college, and then he ends up being like this hipster, and then he ends up being like this. His character development is so funny to me. And again, just like Jan, I just feel like he plays his character so well. And then number one is Dwight. Dwight's my favorite character from The Office. And I hated his character in like the first two seasons. But once we start to get like learn more about Dwight and like the farm and Moe's and everything, his character just gets so funny and so good. So yeah, that's my top three.
All right. My top three is a lot different, actually. My favorite character is Jim. That's who my family has compared me the most to. So, I mean, I just like Jim too. He's funny. So, he doesn't necessarily do anything that's super funny. He's just consistently just has this good vibe that I like about the show. So next I'll have Stanley, you know, Stanley's just great. You know, he hates everyone. I hate him, you know. He's just this don't mess with me. You don't mess with Stanley. And then next, I would probably actually go with Oscar. Oscar is just like so unintentionally funny. You know, it's just like he's probably the most unique character. You know, he's like the smart one and all that. You know, he's like he points out all these useless facts and stuff sometimes. So
he's always correcting people.
He's the smart one in the office of a bunch of dumb people. So it's kind of funny.
It was like when Michael ran like 31 miles an hour, like as a car passed, he's like, that's humanly impossible or something. But yeah, it's hard to pick three characters from The Office that would be my top three, but that would be.
Well, it's actually
crazy. Make one that's mine.
It's crazy because we've both given our top three lists, and I think we have six different people.
Yeah, like, none
so
of far, ours.
Which is insane. So, all right.
Okay, so my top three, I actually took out Michael from this because I think that Michael is just too much of a great character. So I'm just going to go ahead and make it my next three after him. So my favorite, if it's not Michael, is also Dwight. I think that he is the funniest person in the show other than Michael. And just the amount of times he takes things literally is so funny to me. It's just it's amazing. Andy is my next one because he just tries so hard but just fails at everything, and it's hilarious. And I find his character development also, like Ryan's, to be hilarious, because like he starts out just being like a normal person at the office, and then he just strays away from that so quickly, and I find that really funny, to the point where at the end he's like crying in the set of a reality show. So
he goes away for like 3 months in like a boat, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And this is the type of stuff that makes you think that his character might actually be insane because of how many times he's failed.
Also, it's Ed Helms.
All of his anger management stuff too, where he just randomly punches holes in the wall.
Because he can't find his phone that's raining.
And then after that, Jim and Robert California are my two next ones.
Oh, like, my God. Robert California would be last on that.
I think Robert California is in the mafia. He has to be.
I think that he's no evidence. He's just such a shady character. I find it funny because, like, that's, like, the last type of person you'd expect inside of, like, this office type of thing. But now you have this dude who's just, like, completely secret, completely different from Michael.
Yeah.
And you just put him inside this place that you've known for so long, and all of a sudden everything just changed, like the whole dynamic changes, and I find that hilarious. Jim is the person I can generally relate to the most, so that's why he's one of my favorites too.
Yeah, Robert California's character is like, I get so annoyed with it for some reason, but he does have really funny or some really funny moments, so I'm cool with, like I said, I think you can make a case for literally any person in the entire show being on this list. Like that's everyone is so good at what they do on that show. So I think that's it.
Yeah, I'm not going to answer that one, considering I have not seen more than 3 episodes of the show. But yeah. I respect you guys' list. Now we will move on to our final voicemail question.
Hey, guys, this is Jared from Illinois. I just had a question about who you guys think will be the more exciting team to watch next year. Will it be the football team or the basketball team? Thanks. Go Blue.
Thank you for the question. This is a really easy question for me to answer, at least. But I think the football team will be more exciting with Dylan McCaffrey. I mean, I think he might win the Heisman next year, and there's not much that's more exciting than that, in my opinion.
Dark horse Heisman contender?
Dark horse Heisman. Rocky Lombardi. Horse.
I don't think there's anything dark horse about
it. Charbonnet for Heisman.
I mean, I'd have him as a favorite.
Ronnie Bell, dude.
Nico. Okay.
But Ben thinks that it's going to be football, but I'm going to have to disagree with this one. I think it's very close, in my opinion. It's very close. These are both going to be really exciting teams to watch, but I think that basketball is going to be a more exciting team to watch. And I say this because I kind of look at this lineup, and I see a big three and one potential player of the year candidate in Livers if he expands his game just a tiny bit more. Like, if you look at this on paper, you have Mike Smith, who's a 25-point-per-game scorer. You have Isaiah Livers, who is a solid option, like solid. And I think that if he gets better, that he can definitely contend for player of the year. And you have Franz Wagner. I don't know why I said that.
Franz.
But,
don't disrespect
Franz. Hans and Franz.
Franz Wagner. he was basically the best freshman in the Big Ten last year. And I think that he's going to do big things next year, especially looking at how he played.
Don't let Michigan State fans hear you say that he was the best freshman in the Big Ten.
He's better than Rocket Watts.
Rocket Watts.
His name is Rocket. He has to be good.
Rocket Watts shot like 36% from the field last year. I don't want to hear that.
And
Anthony Cowan shot 39.
Damn.
Yeah, boys, we're getting a little off track.
All right, whatever.
Maryland's trash. Let's just throw that in there right now.
And they beat us. They beat us, but yeah.
Yeah, they're fucking trash.
All right, Max, what's your answer?
So, yeah. I mean, I don't know where this answer is coming from, whether it's like my head or my heart, but probably my heart. It's the basketball team is going to be more exciting. I don't have – it's not that I don't have faith in the football team. I think they're going to be solid next year, and I think McCaffrey's going to be pretty good. But the basketball team, I mean, you have – you're going to have Livers and Franz, who I think are going to be maybe the best wing duo in college basketball next year. I mean, there's not a team in the Big Ten that has two better wings than them. And, you know, we have a lot of new players. I get it. We're going to have Mike Smith, who's probably going to start at point guard. We're going to have two transfers that are trying to get their waivers. There's a lot of question marks, but you have a really exciting freshman class coming in. Players that, I mean, Dickinson and Williams and Zeb, and they're all going to make immediate impacts. And then, like I said, you're going to have – everyone thinks Michigan's going to be so young next year, but they're going to have Brooks and Franz and Livers in their starting lineup. I mean, those are going to be three experienced players. So, I think you're – But again, he started a full year. Yeah, and if Smith, of course, fifth year.
Second
as well,
year is so. Not a. I can't say that's experience.
He's not super experienced. He has experience, but
he has experience, but he's not experienced.
This guy, is basically a pro.
He did play pro ball in Germany.
He's gonna be a first round pick. He played pro ball in Germany, and he just has a year under his belt. I mean, Franz is a. It's not like they're throwing a freshman out there, so. They're going to have an experienced lineup, and like I said, Franz, he's going to lead the team in scoring next year. I think Franz has a legitimate shot at winning Big Ten Player of the Year next year. He's going to be that good. I honestly see Franz, like I said in a previous episode, right around that 17, 18 points per game. And, I think Michigan basketball, year two under Juwan, and I think they're going to be really exciting.
You really don't think Garza's just going to take it again?
I think Luka Garza is going to have a really good season. And then when he plays Michigan, Hunter Dickinson's going to shut him out. And they're not going to give him player of the year because of that.
Shut him out? He's not scoring at all?
No, he's going to shut him down. Not going to shut him out.
I was like, he dropped 40 on John. Yeah. So.
Who?
So, all right. So when it comes to my answer, football or basketball, football team – unfortunately, we're probably just going to get more of the same. They have a really tough schedule next year with Washington. You have Ohio State on the road, MSU on the road. Then you have Penn State. You have Minnesota on the road, too. You have Penn State coming to town, Wisconsin coming to town. It's just a brutal schedule. You know, it'll probably just be another 9-3, 8-4, unfortunately, type season. It's, you know, that's just being honest. The basketball team is more intriguing. It's just, you know, we're still seeing exactly what can – Juwan Howard do for this program. So I'm interested to see what year two would be like with all these half the roster is going to be like new players. So I'm interested to see what's going to happen there.
All right. Now that we have finished that question, we are going to move into our top three of the week. Thank you guys for all the love on the top three from last week. I mean, I kind of blew that poll out the water, so I was really proud of that one. But this week we have our top three cereals.
Oh, right. I guess I'll start with this one. So I guess my favorite cereal would be I actually like Captain Crunch a lot. I don't know why. It's just good to – I just like it a lot. Then next would be Lucky Charms. And then after that, I actually like Cocoa Puffs a lot.
Hold up. Let me – You have Captain Crunch as your top favorite.
What is
cereal.
Wrong with Captain Crunch?
This list might top all of Ben's bad lists.
That was bad, bro. Captain Hot Crunch take. Is like that's not top 20 for me, bro.
I mean, okay. Holy smokes.
Fuck me.
All right, Ryan, let's hear something.
We have different tastes.
So I'm gonna start off my top three with a very unpopular opinion. My favorite cereal was for a long time, and it still is. I just can't find it anymore. Was Honey Bunches of Oats Cinnamon Bunches. Bro. That was for the longest time.
I've already been bested. Let's go.
And my number two cereal is one that's a little more common. It's going to be Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay. One of that's the greatest one. Cereals of all time, and there's no debating that. And my number three is Apple Jacks.
Dude, I'm sorry.
Dude.
So you said mine was bad.
At least he's got cinnamon toast.
At least my two and three two and three respectable. I don't know. Like, what's wrong with Lucky Charms and Cocoa Puffs?
Man has Apple Jacks on his list.
They don't even taste like apples.
That is so funny to me.
There's no apple in that.
You guys cool if I go next?
Yeah.
This might be our worst top three series. All right.
For starting off with number three, definitely wouldn't be like top three best tasting, but I think just I used to eat this thing every day, and it's not like overly sugary where like you can eat it every day. So I have Honey Nut Cheerios as number three. Number two, I got there was like this song that I just love this song about this, but Reese's Puffs. You guys know the song?
Reese's Puffs.
Oh, yeah.
Eat them up.
That was a meme for the longest time.
All right. And number one, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I think it's undoubtedly the best cereal. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Ben, that was solid. So, going from three to one, number three, I agree with Ben. I have Reese's Puffs on there.
Oh.
That's a legit. I mean, it's so good. Number two, Lucky Charms.
Hey.
Yeah, so I love I don't know, man. Marshmallows and cereal, they go together really well. I love Lucky Charms. And then number one, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's I cannot believe that everybody doesn't have it number one. It is by far the best cereal. So Reese's Puffs, Lucky Charms, Cinnamon Toast Crunch number one. That's my top three, and I will win the Twitter poll this week.
Yeah,
I'm gonna laugh if I win.
That's not gonna happen. You don't have to worry about that.
I said if. I didn't say I would. I don't think I will. So
Ryan would have a shot. The hot take has Apple Jacks in his top three.
Yeah, he might not.
Yes, sir.
Ryan's is worse than mine. Can we?
Yeah, Ryan's getting the boot, bro. Stu.
Yeah, Ryan's getting the boot.
Yeah. Okay. Max, I will have to say your list is very solid. I couldn't put Lucky Charms on the list simply because if you get a bite without marshmallows, it's fucking just plain Cheerios. Not even the Honey Nut ones. Just you know, trash.
I respect that. No, I respect that. I think the marshmallows,
the marshmallows are the cereal.
They are.
That's what makes Lucky Charms special.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I have no problem leaving Lucky Charms off because I'm with you. If you don't get a marshmallow, you're kind of like, what the hell did I just bite into? So.
Yeah. me and Matt, we got the good list this week.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Now moving into our final segment. We didn't do this last episode, but it's coming back this one, our unpopular opinion segment. Max, you want to start us off?
Sure. My unpopular opinion is this is Josh Gattis's last year in Ann Arbor.
Oh, I hope you're wrong.
Oh.
So the reason for that, you know what? Let me rephrase that. This is Josh Gattis's last year as Michigan's offensive coordinator.
Uh-oh. Where's this going?
No, this isn't going anywhere. So I think if Josh Gattis has a good year calling plays, if Michigan has a legit offense, I think he's going to take 2 years and out for him. I think he's going to take a head coaching job someplace. Mm-hmm. Or if Michigan goes 8-4 or something like that this year, and for some reason, if Harbaugh decides it's time to leave, I think Josh Gattis would take over for him. So I do think my unpopular opinion is this is Josh Gattis's last year as offensive coordinator.
Honestly, I can see Josh Gattis as the head coach.
Yeah, I could.
I could too. I think he'd be phenomenal. I think he would just kill it.
The honeymoon phase is over with Harbaugh.
Uh-oh. It's just,
you got to perform now. So
hold on, Jacob. Are you officially putting Harbaugh on the hot seat?
Yeah, he should have been on the hot seat. He's owing is he owing 5? 0-6? Oh, he's owing. How many years? I'm blanking on it now.
He's 0-5. I want to say 5.
He's 0-5. No coach has ever started 0-5 against the rival on both sides, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean,
on Michigan's side, no one's ever started 0-5. Just like even Rich Rod won in the first 5 tries.
Shout out Rich Rod, by the way. I wonder where he's at these days.
I love that dude, bro.
Bro, no. like you gotta win. Like I don't like. Yes, Ohio State is a better program than us, but you gotta upset them. Like they've only come close once. So
did you guys just hear that?
All right, just go on with your next. That's not my unpopular opinion. Just go on with your next take.
I opened my Baja Blast Zero, so I'm not sure if you guys heard that. Shout out to Baja
Blast. Hashtag ad.
Yeah, shout out to Baja Blast Zero. If you guys haven't had this yet, holy shit, it's just as good as regular Baja. And I'm on a diet.
Now I really know what my unpopular opinion is.
Yeah, so, okay.
Yeah, so hey, shout out Baja Blast Zero.
Can I just go since it just makes sense now?
Yeah, sure. You go.
Okay. This might get me crucified, by the way. I hate pop. I just I cannot take carbonated beverages. They're awful. It just feels so weird on my tongue. They're just I don't like them. I just prefer to drink water or milk or something. I don't know why I like milk, but
do you like orange juice? Chocolate.
Orange juice? No, apple juice is superior.
Apple I'm going to be completely honest with you. That's probably good for your health.
Oh, yes, yeah, it is good for my health. But like water, milk, and apple juice would be my top three. This is a new top three.
Let me ask you this, Jacob. When's the last time you had pop?
A couple weeks ago. I try it once in a while, see if I like it or not. I've always hated it.
No, so I don't like
what
pop.
What did you try?
I think I had Coke.
You go get yourself or a Sprite. Baja Blast Zero, all right?
No.
No. God, no. Dude, Baja Blast. Violate
social distancing. Why are we shitting? I'm trying to get a sponsorship here, guys, and you guys are saying
God. I'm not trapping.
Oh, no.
I hate all pop. So I hate everything. I hate it all.
Wait, is Baja Blast going to sponsor us or just like Taco Bell?
No, just Mountain Dew Baja Blast, specifically zero.
We'll take Taco Bell, too.
Yeah, I'd rather have Taco Bell.
We can have both if you both want to. Taco Bell, if you're listening, sponsor us.
All right.
Taco Bell is probably listening too,
for sure.
Most likely with Olivia.
I hope she sees.
Now, onto my unpopular opinion. This is not sports related, but since it's the off season, I felt that was okay. Polo, I think that Polo's new album called The Goat is the best album of 2020. Sorry, Uzi.
I honestly think that's a good take.
Dude, bro, come on.
Dude, I think it's unpopular just because. Yeah, Uzi. But I think it's overrated. I'm not that big of an Uzi fan myself. But yeah, that's my
Uzi's
take.
Got the name, but I think that Polo definitely had the better album.
Who the hell is Polo?
Yeah,
Polo G.
My God,
The Goat was a great album.
You guys are gonna have to fill in the old man.
They don't play much rap music in the nursery home. Don't.
Well, if you're listening to this, I am not that fucking old. So I just want to throw that out there. You guys are making me sound like I'm like 40.
Are you?
No, I'm not fucking 30. You guys know how old I am.
But you're 50.
Close. God. Let's just say it this way. You're closer to 50 than you are to zero.
Think about
that.
Not.
Think about that. All right. I'm sorry for roasting you.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, so moving on. My unpopular opinion is that I think that Franz Wagner has a very good chance at being a Player of the Year finalist. I think that
this year he's going to take,
huh?
Big Ten Player of the Year or National Player of the Year?
National.
Oh my God!
I think that
a better shot
if he takes a step up on the play that he was already displaying in the later parts of the year, I think that he is 100% a finalist. I don't think there's a doubt about it.
Is that like,
That is a UM versus everyone guarantee.
Oh my God.
We have our breaking first news. One of the pop.
This isn't mine, guys. Don't come at me on Twitter.
Wait, who? Oh my God. This is such a good take, though, Ryan. I'm not going to lie. Like, I love it. I think he's going to win Big Ten Player of the Year next year. So,
I mean,
if you win Big Ten Player of the Year, you have a shot at the Wooden Award. So, what'll probably happen is they'll probably give it to somebody that's undeservingly. Or that's undeserved because he does cool dunks. That's probably what'll happen. So, let me just say this. Obi Toppin did not fucking deserve Player of the Year this year. I mean,
I 100% agree with that. Luka Garza deserved that the entire way.
I mean, I will die on the hill that Luka Garza did not win this award because he's ugly. I will die on that hill. They take one look at Luka Garza and the NCAA was like, that's not the dude we want representing us. Look at his eyebrows. I guarantee that's why he didn't win the award.
Yeah, he does not have good eyebrows.
Obi Toppin is flashier, so that's why he won.
He does cool dunks.
Yes, sir. All right. Jacob, you already went, right?
Yeah, Pop's trash. There
all
we go.
Right. I think that's all. I think that's all we have for episode number 5 of the Amazing Blue Corner podcast. Thank you, guys. We just hit 100 subscribers on YouTube, and that really means a lot to you guys. If you guys haven't subscribed, it'd mean the world to us if you did. Thanks again to our editor, Quinton Cole, for editing this podcast.
Go.
His YouTube and Twitter, along with all of our Twitters, will be linked in the description below. Very underrated YouTuber. Puts out a lot of bangers. Actually uploaded one the day we were recording this, and it was another banger. So be sure to check him out. Thank you guys for listening. We hope you enjoyed, and remember, just beat Ohio State.